Well, it is a beautiful day, and every time you can wake up, it's a beautiful day, isn't it? So much so, I'm going to open up a special hotline for those of you who have lost a few lives. You know, as we did many, many years ago, we had a nine lives line. I tend to believe the old movie, The Nine Lives of Alfego Baca, that old Disney movie, is pretty accurate, that we have a certain amount of lives within our lifetime. And we might eat them up with events that occur. I think I've eaten up four of them, as a matter of fact. One when I was 18, I was going to school, college, University of Detroit, got into a huge car accident. It was my fault. Cars were stopped on the freeway. I went up a hill and down, and I skid on the rain, and bam, I went right into all these cars, and I bounced off the steering wheel. In those days, we did not have seatbelts. And that was one life when I was a little younger. I think I almost drowned in a lake. I was with my uncle. I hit a hole. There was a hole in the lake. Must have been about 2 feet deep, the hole. And I was only about 2.5 feet tall. And down I went. And that was kind of scary. But I've eaten up about four or five of my nine lives. How many have you? Here's that special phone number for you. 818-817-0021. We'll call it the Nine Lives Line. How did you eat up those lives? 818-817-0021. And, of course, we'll have our open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast Open Lines for you now. And let's go to Mario in Scottsdale, Arizona, first-time caller. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning, George. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Boy, you got me stumped now. I was going to mention something about Barbara and her stuff, but then you said the nine times that you get to choose, that you get taken off the planet, and what's going on with that. I'm gonna have to go with that one.
All right.
I believe that there's Archangel Michael out there, and he protects all of us to where we probably wouldn't be even having this conversation if it wasn't for that angel.
How many do you think you've gone through?
Oh, God. Over nine, George.
Oh, no, you got the special gift then. You're only allowed nine.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. We don't want to limit ourselves when it comes to protection. Although, you know, we don't want to tempt the Lord either. It started probably, the first recollection was 3 years old, going backwards into a lake. And both my parents thought I'd been with each other. And the next moment they knew, I was up on a dock, choking while someone had jumped in and got me.
But I remember that. Horrible feeling.
I can remember that experience, going backwards down into a dark pea green situation to where there was a bright sun and I was blowing bubbles merrily, with the happiest feeling I've ever had in my life.
You were exhilarated. You thought it was it, though, didn't you?
I thought it was just the happiest time. That was something normal that we do. And at three, of course, we didn't have that recollection of fear, probably.
Right. Right.
But that was the first one. And then earlier in life, I was on the railroad, and there was five experiences there. Actually, it was a dream on every one of those that warned me ahead of time, but I didn't know it until actually it was happening to me. One was falling about three stories, landing just perfect where I was supposed to.
Ouch. Any broken bones on that one?
No, by God's grace, no.
That's a miracle.
And then from there, it was falling off a boxcar and catching myself on the ladder just before I went down. Another time was, as I was climbing up the ladder, it was icy. I missed the first rung on the bottom, and we were doing about 35. And before you know it, I had my whole torso underneath the wheels, and I had to kick myself back up onto the ladder, getting coupled up in between the train. There was the other time with the air hose, 90 pounds of pressure. It had not been put together correctly, so it hit me in the side of the head. And again, it was the protection of the rubber part hitting me instead of that steel part.
He's watching you for a reason, Mario.
God is good. It seems like over half a dozen times with car accidents. And again, I say we've all have this protection. Of course, the more we are attuned to our higher self and that understanding.
So I was going to ask you that because you haven't summoned him up or anything like that. He's just always been there for you or his lieutenants. and they've always been there to protect you. But have you done anything differently in order to attract that help?
Actually, I have, George. Archangel Michael and the 7 archangels that we know of are all here to help us. And once we consciously realize that, it does fight some dark situations, as you realize. We do have light and dark here on the planet. And where there is darkness, there is also the light. So at those dark times, we can summon Archangel Michael to come forward.
I believe that, Mario, and I'm glad you're around. Just be careful, because I've always believed you only get 9 of those. I also remember when I was a little boy, I used to have hamsters. I used to raise them. I loved them. And I had one in a little fishbowl, and I must have been about 10 years old. I'm running down the sidewalk with this little aquarium and the hamsters inside of it, and I hit something on the cement, you know, part of the sidewalk that was raised a little higher. I went flying, and the aquarium broke. The hamster was okay, but a shard of glass went right through my arm, and I still have the scar. It's a little tiny thing now, and it just stuck right in there, and it must have been about 2 inches long by about a half an inch to an inch wide. And I thought, man, this is it. I've cut something. And I didn't pull it out, ran home to my mother. I was crying, and she pulled it out. And, you know, the folks from the old country, they have these different remedies. What she did is she grabbed some coffee, ground up coffee, and packed it into that wound. And sure enough, I was okay later on. I mean, everything was fine other than a little scar that I have on my left arm. Little tiny thing now. You know, it had been years before it faded away. I just noticed it about a year ago. It's almost gone now. It's bizarre. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Sam in Atlanta on the wild card line. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. As you look to your left and look at Tom Danheiser in his little room and look across from you and see Dan Galante at the board, I just want to say, as a former employee,
this
of yours,
is Steve Carr.
Happy birthday, boss.
Thank you, Stephen. How are you? You're down there working on the Harvey Show, aren't you?
Doing very well. So happy that I've got the opportunity to come on the air and wish you a happy birthday. And let me tell you, of all the people I've worked with and all the shows I've worked on, you've been one of my favorite guys throughout the years.
Well,
and I still have a nice relationship with you, and I appreciate you so much.
Stephen, it was because of you. You turned me into a Johnny Cash fan.
Well, of course.
Steve used to
Johnny Cash at the bottom of the hour. I'm personally going to come to Los Angeles and hurt him.
I want to tell everybody how this shift used to work. Dan would do the early show and then 3 hours of the live show, and then Steve would come in and do the last hour of the live show and the refeed later. So that's how they used to split it up. And Steve would always come in, and you know, I would pick bumper songs. Dan would pick them. Steve would do them. Everybody. This was a group thing. By the way, the oldies are probably picked by me most of the time.
Yeah, probably.
And anyway, Steve would always come in and have all these little songs already made up in his mind. And by the time you came in for the fourth hour, I had already picked the ones I wanted. Dan already played them. He already picked his. So, you know, you were there to pick whatever you wanted. And you came in one day and played this Grandfather's Clock Johnny Cash song. And Danheiser and I were looking at each other going, what the heck is this guy doing? He has literally taken over the show. And you're there jamming with this thing. But, you know, we liked it, and it was fun. And then, you know, every once in a while you did it. And I remember when you were with me, because when I started full-time 2003, did Johnny die during that time period? Something happened.
Yeah, well, June died first, and then John passed.
A couple months later, right?
Right, right. And I was actually working on Coast to Coast the night that John Ritter and Johnny Cash both died the same night.
I remember that. And you were just distraught.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it seems to me that was a Friday night, and Johnny was supposed to come out to Los Angeles on Monday, and we were supposed to have lunch Monday together.
You used to play with him, didn't you?
I knew Johnny, and he and I had a relationship for many years, and we were going to have lunch that Monday, And he got hospitalized, and then he passed. And to me, it was devastating. It was just devastating.
Well, how's your family doing, and how do you like Atlanta?
We are doing wonderful. My wife is in charge of the PTA locally, and she just got a state honor an honorarium from the Georgia State PTA for the work she's done in the past year. She's going to be president again next year, so we're happy. Of course, Steve Harvey is doing great, and
super.
And I'm enjoying that job. So
yeah, he's a good guy.
But I miss you. I miss Dan. I miss Tom. You know, I miss the folks there. And I just want to say happy birthday to you. And thanks for all the fun that you've given me throughout the years.
Thank you, Stephen. You be well.
All right, George. Bye bye.
Always fun. We got a great tight knit group of people on this program, many of whom I mention at the end of the show. And, you know, you don't see what they do all the time. You see and hear Tom once in a while when he does his text questions and things like that. And you hear him when you call. But we've got a lot of great people throughout this entire network that do things to keep Coast to Coast on the air, from the engineering staff to the engineers and the board ops. And Dan is in charge of our show operations as well. And then we've got our network people that you don't see, and then a sales team that goes out and does what it does. And then we've got an incredible affiliate relations group that is second to none. They're the ones that literally keep this program on the air on our 545 radio stations. They are just superb, and that's growing, by the way. We have a personal bet. I'm not going to tell you what the bet is, but I want this program to have the most affiliated stations in the country. We are number two right now. I'm not going to mention the guy who's number one, but we're going to catch them all. This affiliates group, of course, they also work with him, so I guess they have to be careful what they do. But we're growing, and we've been growing for years, and we're going to continue in all different facets and areas. And all of this came because of you, too, because you have listened to this program over the years, beginning with Art, carried on with me. And let's just keep going higher and higher and higher. And now let's go to Reno, Nevada. Sarah is with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Sarah.
Happy birthday, George. I met you a few years ago at one of the alien conventions in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And I'm calling to tell you about a conversation I had there with one of the gentlemen who, forgive me, I completely forgot his name, probably in his upper 40s now, short dark hair, was an expert on people who have been kidnapped, not a regression therapist, is the woman you kindly had on tonight. He and I had a conversation. I have had experiences of aliens coming in, I didn't know at the time, coming in my bedroom as a little kid, coming through the windows, doing various things to me. And then later, when I was an Air Force wife, I had a very disturbing experience. For some reason, I was sleeping downstairs on the fold-out couch, and I think I was mad at my ex-husband, and remember waking up and turning my head and being absolutely paralyzed, and something had peeled back the skin on my thumb and was just checking me out. And I hated it. I wanted it to go away. I immediately knew what they were up to because I'd experienced this so much as a child, to the point that I remember asking my mother, being Christian religious at the time, does Jesus come through the windows? Does he do things to you? Does he put things in your body and what have you?
Amazing.
And she had no idea what to say.
Was she panicking for you, or did she think this was an illusion of a kid?
Illusion of a kid. I was the same.
By the way, that noise came from you, not me.
Yeah. Illusion of a kid. I had, you know, mysterious friends, as did my brother, but that's a whole other story. So I was so upset and told my ex-husband, and, you know, we were living on a military base in Randolph, actually, outside of San Antonio, Texas, which is the main air training command. And, gee, you know, where am I now? Near Area 51 in Tonopah, where there's activity going on. So he believed me, and we were seeing all these things going on in the sky because we had this townhouse that was near the flight line. And, oh, the interesting lights. This would have been mid to late 90s, young bride.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just absolutely wiped out. It was hard for me to function for a few days, but I was mad. And as I told the gentleman at this, you know, alien convention that a friend of mine drugged me along to, and I'm going, I am, okay. but validated a number of my experiences, said, I get rid of them. I distinctly remember praying and chanting and taking all of the energy that I had and making this protective force field around myself. It sounds crazy to get away, don't bother me, don't ever do anything to me again.
And they went away?
Yeah, and 3 or 4 days later, and you know, of just absolute intense, I was a college student at the time at UT Austin, and I was not bothered. It was a long weekend or something, and I went into this trance-like state. I don't even remember how I did it. And focused so hard, and frankly, I've not been bothered again.
That is amazing.
And talking to this gentleman...
And that might have been, at the time, Dr. John Mack.
The name sounds familiar.
And he looked a little like you. He was a shorter person. He had darker hair, dark brown. Of course, he's no longer with us. But I think that might have been him.
Could very well have been. And he validated my story and said that you're not the first person who's told me the story. Here's my card, if you'd care to go on the record. But hearing the story tonight from Ms. Lamb, it made me think it might be worthwhile calling in and telling somebody else about my story that my current husband doesn't even know, but that there are ways that, look, if you're absolutely fed up, this is not fun for you, there has to be something that you can do about it. You shouldn't be just solely at wit's end, and that you're not crazy. I think that there are more rational, functioning, educated people out there who we just don't talk about.
See, I think it's dramatic that you were able to have this stop on your own.
Probably, but, you know, I am one practicing in health fields now that I believe we can cure ourselves.
Well, you know, Sarah, they probably felt, you know, this person has had it with us, and we better stop. And it looks like they did. Hey, let me take a few more other calls, if we can do so before we go to the break. Our 9 Lives line, Katie's with us in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Katie. What happened?
Hey, George, real quick, are you a Gemini, too?
I sure am.
Awesome. Good to be one, eh?
Two personalities. Who said that? Me, I guess.
True that. Well, my 9 Lives, I ended up when I was about 4 years old. I was in the kitchen, high chair, and fell flat, face first onto the hard kitchen floor.
Oh.
And had to get a bundle of stitches in my mouth. But it was okay because my dad gave me a Smurfette wallet with a $5 bill in it. And back in 84, that was a lot of
That's
money.
It's a lot of money. Exactly. Still is. To
yeah.
some. Yeah.
Softball. Very first throw. The very first ball I ever caught. got hit in the head pretty hard.
You missed gave it.
I turned out to be a catcher. Well, catcher in right field. But threw the ball at me turned out to be our star pitcher. So that was
you're lucky it didn't crack your head.
Oh, I know. It gave me like an immediate goose egg, and it was the size of a goose egg. I mean, yeah.
Well, you gotta watch those lives because they click away. We have 9 of them. Mario had more. Maybe he took one from you. I don't know. I'll be back with more open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Well, what would Friday night be without our traditional shout-out? And thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, 545 strong, thank you. Coast Insiders, thank you for everything you do. Coast to Coast Mobile, right around the corner. I've got Lex tied up right now as he's working away at it with his IT crew. XM Satellite, Channel 168. It's called XM Talk Now, 168. And the various chat rooms and groups. Hello, folks, from Into Infinity, the growing group over there. Thanks for everything you folks are doing. Fantastic forum, too. Thank you for the birthday messages and the great little banners that you put up. I appreciate everything you folks are doing as well. Imaginative Worlds, National Radio Club, Sorcery, IRC. MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, our Twitter groups, Facebook groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and I will always remember our dear friend Greg in St. Louis, who cooks the night away into the wee hours. Thanks for all of you supporting Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we are back with you on Coast to Coast Land. Let's go to the phones. John in St. Charles, Missouri on the wild card line. Hey, John, how are you?
How you doing, George? Hi. I saw you on KSDK Channel 5 with Jennifer Bloom when you came to town to sign your book.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
And I, first time I was abducted was in 1959 in Owensboro, Kentucky, and I've had contact with ET, and I believe I know the reason why they're hybriding people. I believe that that we didn't normally evolve from the great ape, and that people came here from another star, and they genetically interfered with our development, and we're their children.
You may be right about that. I mean, that's basically the theory of Zechariah Sitchin, the late Zechariah Sitchin, that they came here genetically altered.
I had an episode where I was aboard a alien ship, and I was taken into a curved stainless steel burnished room with about 25 to 30 hybrid children, and then E.T. came up to me in a white monk's robe, and he told me one day the world will understand. And I believe that the reason why they're doing this is to protect their scientific experiment in case we kill ourselves off with nuclear weapons.
Well, you might be right. And John, now, are you a hybrid or are you just a pure abductee?
They told me I was the star child of the Imperial Order.
Interesting. Now, what do you look like? Do you look like a human being?
Yes, sir.
Nothing unusual?
No.
Okay, that's.
I am a intensely creative person, a photographer, and I had a similar incident like Linda Moulton Howe had, where she went to the air base in Albuquerque,
yeah,
and was told by the lieutenant that this was occurring. Well, I called the U.S. Air Force Weapons Laboratory, the directorate where the chief scientist of the U.S. Air Force works in Arlington, Virginia. I talked to a colonel's office, and the officer there told me when I explained my story to him that this is occurring. We know it's going on.
So he admitted that to you?
Yes, sir.
That's a great story. Hey, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom. He's got one of your text messages. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hey, George, let me wish you a happy birthday, and I hope you have a great day tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.
And I have one here from Trent from New Jersey, and he says, happy birthday, George. I would like to know your take on growing old, and does the afterlife scare you?
Well, as I said a couple days ago, I'm on the home stretch.
I heard you say that.
Let me tell you something, Tom. Do you want me to mention your age or ask you how old you are? Does that bother you?
No. Go ahead.
It doesn't bother you. Okay. No. How old are you?
24.
Yeah, well, right.
No, I'm...
Times what, two? Or
yeah,
one?
Exactly, three times.
Well, let me tell you something. Do you remember when you were 20?
I do.
And now you're in your 40s.
Yes.
Can you believe that much time has gone by that fast?
No, I cannot.
It is lightning fast.
It's like a blur.
I remember, first of all, we did a show about how far back could you remember? What's the earliest time you could remember? You remember that? I was a year and a half old. I remember my mother going to the hospital to have my baby sister. Not that I had a baby, but not at that age. But I remember that. And I described everything to her years later. The coat she was wearing, the color it was, who was babysitting for me, who was my father's twin brother. Everything to a T. She was amazed at all that. Anyways, I remember those things now, and you know, and now that I'm 98 years old, it is amazing how quickly time clicks by. So when I say to you, I'm on the home stretch, Tom, I'm not kidding.
No, but the thing is, it
goes by 10 years from now. Look, when I first came to do Coast to Coast, this has now been 8 full-time years. I'm not talking about the 3 years before that I filled in for Art and Ian and everybody else. This
Since
has
you
been
got here.
8 years full-time I've been doing it. And, you know, it's the whole thing is just going way too fast.
The thing I told you earlier, though, the thing is you don't look near your age.
Well, that's because I subscribe to the things I talk about on the air. You know, the supplements, the exercising, you know, this P90X program that I'm doing, but I've always exercised before that.
I do that, and I think it keeps you young. And I think the important thing, though, the biggest barometer of all this, because I saw this happen with my dad. He retired from Ford Motor Company at 60, and he didn't do anything after that. He's 88 now, God love him. But and he fell, by the way, today. My sister sent me a little note, and he bruised up his arm. So, you know, you hear that, and you go, oh, no. But he didn't do anything after he retired. And I think you have to stay mentally active. And, you know, that's why I've told our folks here, I said, as long as my voice stays young and I keep going and my brain is still functioning, I'm going to just keep doing the show.
You're doing something, right?
You know what? And it works. And I've talked to you. And Dan knows what I do, and, you know, I get after all you guys. I want you guys to be around as long as me, and you have to take care of yourself. If you don't take care of your health, the people you care about in your life doesn't mean anything because you can't be around to take care of them.
That's true. George, I don't know if you heard the second part of Trent's text, but he also asks, does the afterlife scare you?
It used to. Not anymore. I think... And I truly believe that there is an afterlife after having years of doubts. And I just think there's just too much marvel in this universe. And if you believe in a divine creator as I do, you know that there's much more to this inheriting of the shell that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't scare me anymore. You know, surely I don't want to just, you know, I don't want to go tomorrow. I want to enjoy what I have left to its fullest. Believe me, you know my theory. Work hard, play hard. That's me. But I'm not afraid of what happens when the time comes.
Excellent. Well, listen, have a great birthday tomorrow, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Next up, let's go to Shelley in Vancouver on the wild card line. Hi, Shelley. Welcome. Hello. There you go.
It's your daughter, Christy, in St. Louis.
Hi, Christy. How are you?
Hello. And I'm just calling to wish you a happy birthday. I love you so much. And you do have many, many years to come.
Well, let me tell you, my little one. Christy, by the way, is daughter two of three children, and she's got two little girls herself. And by the way, I'm coming home next weekend for a little bit. So I shall see you. But thanks a lot. You have grown up to be a phenomenal-looking woman. And, you know, you're breaking hearts in St. Louis. I know that.
Wow, Papa, I love you. Happy birthday.
All right, Chrissy, you take care. And go home, wherever you are. As parents, we always worry about them, don't we? But she's number two. I've got three kids. She's number two, and I don't know where the other two are right now. They're probably working or something. Let's go to Michael in Tidewater, Virginia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. I'm going to turn the tables on you a little bit.
All right.
Since it's your birthday, I'm going to ask you to give me a birthday wish, and I'm going to ask that you not respond to my question and comment for at least a week.
Why?
Because, I'll tell you why, because I heard a Somewhere in Time program by Art Bell on the weekend, a few weeks ago, which he had Grant Jeffrey and Michael Heiser on, and they were talking about the Bible code.
Okay.
And I remember when I heard that program the first time, and I blew off Grant Jeffrey like he was the biggest fool in the world, and I applauded Michael Heiser. But Art Bell defended Grant Jeffrey, and that surprised me. And in fact, it made me have a very low opinion of Art Bell at that time. Then I heard it again. 10 years later, I heard it again a few weeks ago, and I said to myself, I cannot believe how brilliant this Art Bell is. This guy,
see?
This guy, I have to use a phrase that Peter Lang used when he was talking about the federal prosecutor, what was his name, Kirkpatrick or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Patrick Fitzgerald?
Fitzgerald, yeah. He said the man is scary intelligent. And I also heard that phrase used in reference to Osama bin Laden. But I got to tell you, Art Bell is scary intelligent. And I want you to think about what I'm about to say. Because when you came on tonight, I had just heard earlier in the day a hypnotist doing a national interview on a program. I won't name the program. I won't even name the hypnotist. But I used to listen to him 20 years ago, and I blew him off, too. But today he was talking about mind control, and he talked about how Hitler used mass mind control. And so I was going through some of my files, and a tape fell on the floor. And the tape was a program which you did on January 17th, 2007, with Nick Begich, and the program, the theme of the program was mind control.
Huh.
So I took it, and I started playing it about a half hour before you started tonight's show. And as I was listening to it, listening to you and Barbara Lamb talk, I thought, wait a minute, what is this? Everything she is talking about, he was talking about the military doing.
Yep.
And then I began thinking, I said, now look, in the Bible it says that Satan the devil carried Jesus in up to the pinnacle of the temple. And what Nick Begich and you were talking about, you were referencing the Sunday edition of the Washington Post earlier that week. They did an article on mind games, a 7,000-word article. So here was Nick Begich, and he was saying that they are actually experimenting on whole brain modeling in three dimensions, which would involve all five senses. And what he was describing was exactly what Satan did to Jesus in order to tempt him. And he took him up into this high mountain so he could take him to places. He could make him experience things. And then I thought about Ed Gaines and some of the other remote viewers who talked about being able to experience things in three dimensions that were so traumatic that you would almost die if you weren't pulled out in time.
Okay, but why do you want me to wait a week, though, to comment on all this?
Well, because this is a big buildup. Here's the issue, and here's the question. This is 8 years now, almost 8 years, since you promised, what's his name, the guy up there in Washington.
Jim Gilliland.
Gilliland, right. You promised him that within a couple of months you would go up there and see what he did. And I'm thinking of all the things that you've done. You've built studios, you've written books, you've gone to other things, but you never kept that promise. And in my own heart, I would have said, well, maybe it wasn't a good thing for you to have promised to do anyway, but I think a promise is a promise. And in a sense, he is offering to carry you up to a high mountain and show you something of another world.
Okay, but why do I have to wait a week to comment on this, Michael?
For the same reason that it took me 10 years to see something that I couldn't see before about Art Bell's brilliance. I'm saying there's a brilliance in what I am offering you here that doesn't come from me alone. And here it is. Jesus said that in the last days, the powers of the heavens have been shaken, will be shaken, and the stars will be cast to the ground. And when you go into a deep study on that, what it really is telling us is that the extraterrestrial powers in the heavens will have their powers brought to the ground. And I believe that the program that you did 4.5 years ago on January 17, 2007, was telling us that that prophecy is being fulfilled in our time. The ability to do what Satan could do to Jesus in tempting him in the wilderness is now in the hands of the military powers of this world.
All right, well, I'm going to go back, review that show, and wait a week to comment on it. Let's go to our Nine Lives line, Raleigh in Smartsville, California. You're up with us. Hey, Raleigh, welcome.
How you doing there?
Good.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Raleigh.
I'm a Gemini also.
We're a different breed, aren't we?
Oh, my gosh. On the 17th for me.
I think Art's got the same date.
I think it's the same date, yeah.
Yeah. I've been listening to Art Bell, your program, for many, many years.
Well, thank you for that.
First time I had something happen, I was about 8 or 10. Gone on vacation to Las Vegas with my parents, and I snuck out of the room, and there was the swimming pool. I didn't know what that line in the middle of the rope in the pool was, and I thought I could walk around because I could see everybody walking. So I grabbed the inner tube and floated to one side of the pool and floated over past the line, and then I thought I could let go and walk around. Anyways, I went down and up and down a couple of times, and somebody grabbed me out, and I thought that was that, you know, for I was a kid. Anyways, that was one. So I was probably later on in life about 19, 18, maybe even younger, 17. Me and a bunch of guys were partying up in the mountains of Ojai. And we were up there 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I guess we were drinking, and my buddy had a 57 Chevy convertible. And I was sitting in the back seat of the car, shotgun.
Oh, no.
And we're up in the roads, and Jack Rabbit's coming out, and he swerves to the left, and I was standing up, I think, and half my body flies out the back passenger door, and my weight is so heavy. I wasn't overweight that bad or anything, but I'm hanging out the door looking at the rear tire. Instantly, I sobered up, and I had too much of my body out that I couldn't pull myself back up over. And about that second, my buddy next to me, Tony Ford, fell on my legs, and I was able to pull myself back up. And that scared the daylights out of me. Going on, I was about, I remember we were in high school, and there was a farmer that had gas up on the hill, and we snuck in there to go take some gas for the car. And he comes speeding around the corner, and headlights popping, and I jump in the car. A couple of guys jumped into the fields and take off, and that old farmer had a shotgun or something. He kept shooting at us miles down the road, zigzagging in and out of traffic. I finally lost him. Anyways, moving on down, I was about 19, 20, 21 probably, up in Hollywood, California, and we were at the Hollywood Palladium on Hollywood Boulevard.
That's right.
And I think it was Little Richard was playing. The concert was over. Me and my buddy Mike were outside, and somebody lifted his wallet. Mike was a big guy. He grabbed the guy by the wrist and shoved it to the ground, and the wallet was passed off. I grabbed the wallet, passed it back to Mike, and we started walking back to the car. On our way back around to the car, there's a guy following us. There's two guys following us. There's a guy across the street. Anyways, as it comes down, they corner us in the backside of the alley, and they all put switchblades on us.
Oh, well, hold on for one second. I want you to finish that up when we come right back.